This is, if you haven't figured it out already in your own lives and calendars before you got here, or in the liturgy and the hymn that we've sung so far, this is the reign of Christ Sunday, or Christ the King Sunday, our New Year's Eve of Sundays in the church. Next week, you see, get ready for it, is the first Sunday of Advent. A new church year. On this Sunday, however, this Omega Sunday, we are called to explore who Jesus is. So to do so this year, to begin, I want to share a story with you. It's one I shared many, many years ago, so a few of you may remember it, but bear with me then. It's the story of a time that I was asked the question by one of our children. As you might imagine, it came from my oldest child, our first son, Sam. He had become curious, and he wanted to know. So the question came, "Dad," he asked me, "who is Jesus?" I'm not sure what question some of you were anticipating he asked. Sunday morning, for goodness sake. "Who is Jesus?" he asked me. This was late in the fall of 2001. Sam was 3 years old. It was during the Advent season, and I remember that, of course, because Advent is a time when we talk a lot about Jesus, especially with our children. And children can very quickly relate to Jesus as a baby. He was born like I was. He was little like me. He had parents or those who cared and loved for him like me, and so forth. So my 3-year-old son wanted to know who Jesus was. And I can't fully describe to you the emotions that immediately ran through me, not just from the question, but from hearing my son, my 3-year-old son, ask it. From hearing him say the name Jesus, he had a slight lisp, which I won't try to recreate. That'll just ruin the experience a bit. But you can hear it in your head. "Who is Jesus?" he asked me. When Sam asked this question 13 years ago now, I knew that I needed to answer him fairly quickly. And I did, in fact, answer fairly quickly, but so much ran through my head in the seconds between his question and my response, a bit like those flashback montage scenes where decades or centuries pass by in seconds in the movies. My son was inheriting the faith of his parents. That struck me powerfully. This is how it happens. Katie and I had inherited and then owned the faith of our parents, who had inherited and then owned the faith of their parents. The cloud of witness, the communion of saints cascaded all in on my mind. My son was saying a name that has been on the tongues of men and women for 2,000 years, at whose utterance heads bow and knees bend, hearts are crossed and spirits are quickened, a name that has invoked so much good and just and righteous behavior and business, and of course a name that has been used to justify some pretty wicked acts as well. "Who is Jesus?" he asked me. I had mental pictures of children's Bibles, Jesus welcoming the children, Jesus in the temple, angry, Jesus looking up to the skies, Jesus with his friends sleeping behind him. I got mental images of Jesus from musicals I've seen, Jesus in a Superman t-shirt and clown makeup, or Jesus screaming at Judas to leave Mary Magdalene alone. I got images of swaddled babies and curious 12-year-olds, river baptizing and lake fishing, thoughtful teaching and panicked praying, dark crucifixions and shining resurrections. "Who is Jesus?" he asked me. He wasn't even looking at me. His hands were busy playing with his Thomas the Tank Engine trains. But he was paying attention. His mind was on the question, and he was preparing to ask me again. I knew. How much time did I have? I tried to remember for myself what I knew, some 40 to 70 years after the end of the earthly life of a Jewish rabbi from Nazareth. Stories about him were written in a book, several books, actually. Later, these and other books were compiled into a collection called the Bible. The Christian church, the gathering that formed around the life and witness of this person, continues to regard this book of books as divinely inspired. Most of the stories about this Jewish rabbi, of course, are found in four of the shorter books called collectively the Gospels. They are the Gospels according to Mark and Matthew and Luke and John. In those writings, those stories, we meet someone, a human being whose mother and father named Jesus. He became Jesus of Nazareth to identify him from any other Jesuses in the region. From the beginning of those stories, this human was portrayed as possessing some pretty miraculous powers, not magical hocus-pocus stuff, but the kind of things that only faith allows one to experience. So the authors wrote about it. Angels flew through the skies when he was born. Stars shone brighter to announce that birth. The clouds opened up and the Spirit, like a dove, descended upon him. And all of the writers go on to share the life of one who would defy all worldly attempts to describe him, even after his death. Knowing this person quenched your thirst, sated your appetite, and offered new life to all who were thirsty and hungry, or who were dead or dying. In those stories in our Bible, we meet a human being capable of following the will of God at every occasion in his life. And even as he questioned God's will throughout his life, most notably perhaps at the end of his life, he ultimately never failed to respond to the purpose God had for him. He was sinless, they said, without separation, without denial, faithful, even unto death. In these stories, we meet someone whose life comes to a sudden and a violent end. He was crucified, killed for saying the things he said and teaching the things he taught, for loving the people that he loved and claiming the truths he claimed. In these stories, we meet someone who died and then who transcended even the grave. Upon his resurrection, on what became known as Easter, angels once again proclaimed his birth, his rebirth, raised from the dead. And it is in this event, the resurrection, the experience of the risen Christ, that a new faith tradition, now our faith tradition, was born. All of that's in the Bible. All of that's in church teachings. That's what the stories say. Those are the words, small w, of the Gospels. But that's not what Sam was asking for. He didn't ask what the Bible says about Jesus. He asked me, who is Jesus? And there's a difference. Jesus, you see, is finally not a story. Not ultimately someone we just meet in the writings of others. Jesus, if this person is to mean anything more to any of us, 3-year-old sons, 36-year-old dads, 49-year-old ones now, or 65 or 95-year-old grandparents, if Jesus is to mean anything more to us than just being a good teacher or a good example, a good story, then he must be experienced, met, not on the page of a book, but in hearts that are full of compassion and in hands that tirelessly work to reconcile and restore life and all lives. That's where we must begin again. Anytime we try to answer my 3-year-old's question, in our hearts, not in a book, no matter how revered that book is. The Gospels don't actually begin the story of Jesus at the beginning. Mark and later Matthew and Luke and still later John begin as the experience of this incredible life is first expressed in written form. As some of the first attempts to explain the life and the love of Jesus. But to answer a question like, who is Jesus, we must go beneath and start before those explanations, the stories, the words found in our Gospels and elsewhere. We must discover the experience of the Christ that made those explanations necessary. In Jesus, we are all called to be fully human. Men and women and boys and girls in whom the presence of God is tangible. His Spirit is not bound by traditional limits. Ours shouldn't be either. Jesus was able to overcome his past, all of the pain, and to reconcile himself to his future, creating a present in such a way as to reveal both the nature of God and the nature of what we as human beings are called to be. Jesus lived fully. We should too. Jesus' presence gave life to others. Our life should too. Those who were touched by his Spirit came truly alive. He reached beyond human boundaries and restrictions that were set up to divide and diminish Samaritan and Jew, master and slave, man and woman, young and old. God was and is made available to all through him. He loved wastefully. We should too. Jesus was faithful, even unto death. We should be too. He held firm to his convictions, what he said, what he taught, the truths he claimed, and the love that he shared. Created in God's image, he had the courage to be all he was created to be. We should too. When this incredible life came to its violent and premature end, these qualities, that ability to live fully, to love wastefully, to have the courage of his convictions, embraced his followers, making them, making us aware that the God they had known and experienced in him was now a reality in them, in us. That is our Easter proclamation. God is alive because Jesus lives in us and through us. So, okay, there's no more avoiding all of that in that Hollywood flashback seconds, because he was staring at me, asking again and waiting. We're all asking that question in one way or another and waiting on this Reign of Christ Sunday at the end of the church year as we prepare to begin again our Advent hopes. We do well to consider carefully our response. For in the answer to this question, we discover who we are created to be. Who is Jesus? Jesus was the Son of God who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself. Taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness and being found in human form, he humbled himself. He became obedient to the point of death, even death unto a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And of course, it's from Paul's letter to an early Christian community asking the same question, but it's beautiful. As that Christ hymn from Philippians is, it's not the proper response to a three-year-old question, and perhaps it's not appropriate to many of you. Who is Jesus? Jesus was God's Son, and so are you. We are all God's children, and God loves us more than we know. That's how I answered my son out loud. And then I prayed for him, for all of us, silently. Go now, my children. Let the same mind be in you that was in Jesus. Live fully, love wastefully. Have the courage to be all you were created to be. The end is here. so that we may begin again. And as we do, the world will never, ever be the same again. Amen.